Hey True North, it's Friday, October 16th. My name is Eugene and welcome to a very special and new episode of True North Daily. We're trying to call this our roundtable. I don't know how long this will go. I'm hoping it will go for a while. I'm with, if you can't hear yet, Pastor Jay. I'm also with Jane Shin, who's on our staff. David Kang, who is our new worship leader.
Ooh, ooh. That wasn't David, that was me.
But David, you have to say hello.
Hi.
So nervous already.
Again, as you can tell, it's our first time doing this, but let me explain what we're doing and why we're doing this. I think I mentioned before, our podcast, I don't want it to just be me and Jay speaking to you guys from a vertical standpoint, but we want to make some space for a horizontal, just candid conversation. So if you guys know, on Fridays, we've been doing kind of spotlights. But I want to take a little step further and just have an actual live conversation. So if you don't know, we're on Zoom. We see each other's faces. And we just came back from a staff retreat, COVID tested, so we weren't being reckless, in Santa Cruz. And we did have a really long talk on where we see we can engage and grow and disciple our church in the future. And I think one thing that we discussed is this idea that, especially now in quarantine, Sundays are not enough. And I think it's necessary. The pulpit is there. But you guys, as you're probably feeling, you need to grow, you want to grow, and there's a content that's missing. And I think Jay put it really well. Jay, you want to kind of explain when we talked about like the secular versus sacred?
Well, I think one of the things that shelter in place has and the quarantine has really shown us is that there was a pretty big chasm between our Sunday lives and our regular lives, meaning as Sunday going Christians, our faith was so compartmentalized. Can you edit that? Compartmentalized. It was so I can't say that word. It was so compartmentalized.
That's a teacher. That's a Bob have to teach out of.
Yeah, David, how do I pronounce that word?
It's compartmentalized.
Yeah.
There you go.
Our faith is so compartmentalized. Where everything that we do on Sundays, we see as sacred and divine, and everything else that we do during the week, we saw as I totally forgot
secular,
the word
secular.
Yeah. But I think the difficult thing is that when we try to apply our faith and the knowledge that we have of the gospel into what we have deemed secular things in our lives, it becomes very difficult to try to make that connection. And unfortunately, that shouldn't be the case in Christianity, right? That shouldn't be the case in our faith. Our discipleship should be holistic, where the gospel is lived out and applied in every aspect of our lives, whether it's work, dating, recreation, even just, just some of the things that we consume, whether it's books, Netflix, streaming. There's so many different aspects of our lives that we have deemed secular and not allowed the gospel to penetrate into. So I think that's where we hope that this roundtable discussion will allow us to really figure out what is the bridge between what we know as sacred and how can we make that connection to the secular so that we are not making the same decisions as the rest of the world is, but that we are making decisions and living out in an action that is shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think that's really good. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul says, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. And I think that's exactly what Jay's saying. That's missing, not only at True North, but just everywhere. So we're hoping that this can be a part of that. We have other ideas in mind too. But yeah, this roundtable is just going to be, I think, me, maybe Jay included, maybe Chuck sometimes, just with members of our church. And it's not us talking to them and preaching to them, but I think we want to learn too. Whether it's about, we'll talk about dating in a little bit. Maybe it's about your hobbies. Maybe it's about movies. But to have a space to speak candidly and just learn from each other. So given that, I thought the best first topic would be dating. The reason why is I think me and Jay are so removed from dating that it's a completely new world. So even for me, I was married in 2015, right? Only 5 years ago. But I feel like the dating scene has changed within like 100 years of change. I watched the episode of Master of None by Aziz Ansari on online dating and apps, and I was like, this is a crazy world. So I think more than me and Jay telling you guys or specifically telling Jay and David how to date, we just want to learn and talk candidly about it. And I think Jay and I want to learn too. So with that, Jane, David, you can speak generally or specifically. It's up to you. How has your dating life been in 2020?
You want me to start?
You can anyone. Yeah. You know what, David? Because you talked first, you must start.
Yeah, you start.
David was like, ladies first. I was like,
waiting. So it's the only time where I genuinely met ladies first.
Yeah.
But it's been non-existent in COVID. Mm. I did see someone like in the beginning of the year, but didn't really work out. So I'll just leave it at that.
Wait, David, but I remember you mentioned like you're taking a conscious choice not to date because of
like COVID. A celibate?
Yeah, no, not well.
No, during the season.
Like a dating sabbatical. Yeah, you know, so that's kind of what you're doing.
Yeah, I thought that was helpful when you shared that. Like, well, what's the reasoning behind that for you?
It's like two reasons. So I wouldn't say it's like a conscious decision. It's more of just kind of like, it makes sense to me. So I'm not going to like go out of my way at the moment to date or to see other people. And it's two things. One is I think everyone's like living in a pod situation. Everyone has like their group of people that they feel most comfortable seeing. And not everyone is down to get tested for COVID in terms of like meeting up. And I feel like it's something you can't enforce onto others. So just kind of given that context.
Safety first.
And I always like set the bar to within my pod who has the lowest or the highest threshold of safety. Yeah. And I kind of want to like meet according to that person or like those people's standards. And maybe like the one way I can respect and maintain friendship with people I care about is to, like not meet people that I don't know, in terms of like how they have lived during the COVID time. And I think it goes for the other way too. Like if that person feels unsafe about meeting me, I feel like it should be like a very fair game. So that's like one reason. And then I guess the second one is, you know, this is like a lonely time for a lot of people. Like I'm in my room like 90% of the time just working or doing my own things or just hanging out in the living room. So mostly in my apartment. And it just kind of decreases your, I guess, you know, just naturally your exposure to other people in general. And I think because of that, I've seen myself like, you know, from the loneliness, like, oh, like you consider like, oh, like who's out there, like what can I do? And I think it's like it's probably better for me to be more comfortable being alone in a time when you need to be alone than trying to fill that void by going out of my way to meet people, like given all those other circumstances. So it's not like I'm consciously not doing it. It's more like, oh, I'll just stay low until the vaccine comes out, and then once it does, then who knows what
happens. <Whoa. laughs> I was just going to say, you're so holy, David. You're so holy. You're doing it right.
That's not where I'm going, but it's just how I feel.
All right.
Hey, so David, let me ask you a question. Do you, this isn't like a specific question, but like generally speaking, as you're kind of saying this, the second part, do you feel that, people are being more loose because of the fact that they're feeling kind of a deep sense of loneliness, and you're like purposely trying to stay away from that? Is that what you're saying? Or
so yeah, I mean, I think the hardest thing for me is like I don't want to undermine people that are meeting people at this time, because I don't think it's fair at all for me to say anyone's doing anything wrong. Like no one knows what they're doing right to begin with, so it's like it's a crazy time. But for me personally, I can only speak for myself, but I don't think loose is the right word. I think we naturally like crave connection, and we naturally crave relationships. I think one of the first problems for like True North or other churches was like, oh, if we go fully virtual, then people are going to want to like not come out to church anymore physically, and they want to just stay online. But I think we're learning more and more that's not true. We want to be with the community. We want to be with the church people. And it's actually the reverse. The more exposure we have online, we get Zoom fatigue, then we want to meet people like in real life in 3D. So given that, it's not like loose. I think everyone is doing what they can, and everyone's doing what they feel most comfortable. And I think I'm a champion of that. I think just for me personally, like, I have, I guess, my set of priorities and what I think are important. Yeah. And if I truly believe that, you know, COVID is here for a time, like I also think it's like a unique time for me too, like where I can really work on some of the things that I wanted to do that I've never had a chance. Like, just, I will never have this opportunity again. God forbid, like, another situation like this happens again in the future. But, like, it is a unique time, and there's, like, a positive spin to it. And I think given all those things that I could also do, in a very weird way, like, dating hasn't been, like, a top priority. Not because, like, it's not because I don't want to date. It's because I've also given, like, my constraints. Felt like people do what they want to do, and this is what I want to do.
Jane, what's the general, just how has your dating life been in 2020?
Dating life? I'd say, I guess the start of this year, I kind of had this mentality, like, you know, I'm open to dating people in my, like, mutual friend circle, but, like, we'll see how things go. I think my perspective on dating apps, I didn't prefer dating apps. I tried it for about a month, maybe last year, like, barely had any conversations going. And I think once COVID hit, dating wasn't really on the top of my mind. But I think once it entered, like, maybe June or July, and that was kind of when, Newsom announced that we'd extend the quarantine deadline. And I think I was just envisioning just life to stay stagnant for about a year, just not even with dating, but, like, you know, with, like, work and friendships and just everything else, that I think I just had this, like, freak out moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna be 28 by the time this is over. And for me personally, my timeline was to get married by 25, so obviously that's too late. But so I think, like, just given that timeline, I just wanted to put myself out there, which meant to go on a dating app. And honestly, since then, I've been off and on. And I personally haven't physically met with anyone, just because for me, I would want it to be worth it for me to meet up with them first. And so, yeah, that's pretty much it. And I think I'm kind of in this phase where I'm a little over dating apps, and I probably get off it soon.
And just, so, yeah. Great caveat. Mm-hmm. This is a really big question, but mm-hmm. what does dating look like in 2020? Okay, so for example, me and Jay, dating was really different, where it's all flesh. It's in person. Mm-hmm. I think texting was a little bit involved. Not that mm-hmm. Jay's that old. Sorry, Jay.
I might have texted.
But, it was a new invention.
It was more like sending messages through our pigeon carriers. That's what it was.
How would you describe, like, let's say someone time traveled from, like, 100 years ago. How would you try and explain what dating looks like generally in 2020, especially at True North? Like, what does it look like for a single person with all that anxiety and weight on them?
Well, I would say the number one answer that I get from singles is that dating is hard, because it feels like, one, there's, like, all these options. For example, even at True North, I feel like there are so many different kinds of people from, like, East Coast, SoCal, even from the Bay, and just, like, having, even just numerically, so many options of the types of people that are here. And then on top of that, we have the option of going online, where actually there's, like, so many more options than we see in person. So I feel like that kind of stops us from, like, actually wanting to maybe commit to one person, because we're always, like, trying to see who else is out there. And personally for me, I just feel like the options that I've seen, it feels like, yes, they might be good on paper, but for some reason it just seems like the connection or the compatibility isn't there, if that makes sense.
Because it's just on, sometimes it's just on your phone.
Yeah.
I never knew what Hinge even looked like till mm-hmm. 2019. Like, what mm-hmm. If you're talking to, like, an old man, like, you know, someone maybe in this call, like, what does Hinge or these apps, what do they look like, Jane or David?
Jay,
like,
listen carefully. I think Jane's going to explain what it is.
Yeah, explain the smartphone to me first, please.
Well, so the smartphone is, no, I'm just kidding. So pretty much, I mainly use Hinge. I know there's, like, Tinder, Bumble, whatever else, but we'll at least on that. Hinge, you create your profile, you can choose up to 6 photos and, like, I think 6 different blurbs of, like, they give you prompts of, like, answers that you can give about yourself. And so pretty much they're, like, conversation starters if people go onto your profile. But then on one and you can also like search for other people. So it's this kind of like back and forth of like having this option of choosing between people that have liked your profile and also going on this discover page of like choosing people that you can like, and then in the end, if they reciprocate back to you, then you can start the conversation.
It's like a marketplace almost.
Kind of, yeah, yeah.
That's wild.
Is there like different categories, like Coffee Meets Bagel is for a certain demographic, Hinge is for a certain demographic, yeah. Bumble is for another demographic? Is that how it works usually?
I hear between, at least between Hinge and Coffee Meets Bagel, that Coffee Meets Bagel is more for like serious relationships. Hinge is more just to like see what's out there, and then Tinder is even more like not as serious,
just for hookups, like a hookup culture.
Yeah, but I've heard people get married through Tinder too, so okay. I honestly feel like it's also up to the person and like what their intention is on using the app, I guess.
So is Bumble for like old people then? It sounds like older people.
Wait, actually, David, you start talking. What's Bumble, David?
I have no idea. I know that the Clippers had them on the t-shirt during the playoffs.
That means they weren't a good app, man.
Wait, Bumble might be the one where actually the girl has to initiate everything.
I see.
Oh, like a bee, like the queen bee.
Maybe, oh, yeah.
So it eliminates the creepers, right?
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
So, that's... Again, me and Jay don't know this stuff. It's like hearing all this is so interesting because it's a completely different world. So, like, given that, what do you guys feel like? What are the biggest challenges for you as a Christian that's trying to date in the modern day of 2020?
Personally, from my example and even the few girlfriends that I talked to that have used dating apps recently, there aren't like many Christian guy options through Hinge or like dating apps in the first place. And even if a lot of times I feel like they do write that they're Christian, but they just say that because maybe they want the nice girl, but they don't live out the Christian lifestyle. And so when we get to know them, we find out they go to church once a year or like they don't really take their faith seriously. So I feel like that in itself, it's like a more strenuous vetting process on our end.
So it's like everything's so superficial, you like have no idea who this person really is.
Yeah.
Well, even outside of their faith, just like outside of their profile pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah, it kind of in like a bad way too, because honestly, sometimes I feel like I catch myself being too vain, where like I will see their profile and be like, oh, his eyebrows are too full or I don't know, something. But then if I were to meet him in person, and like for me personally, I think a guy's personality really shines. I mean, of course he should look somewhat good looking, but I feel like the connection is really there when we start talking in person. So I don't know, it's hard to really gauge. And I feel like even though I've been through many profiles, like I still don't know. I don't know what I'm doing.
are dating apps looked down upon within like the Christian single culture, or is it kind of is it like shameful to be on a dating app, or is it does it matter?
I felt like before COVID and like quarantine, it was a little looked down upon. Like if you saw someone from church, you would like screenshot and text your friends like, ooh, guess who's on this dating app? And then
on that same app.
Yeah, but it's also like, oh, well, like I guess I'm on it too.
Take the log out of your own eye, man.
Yeah, but then.
Was God talking about Bible apps when he was saying that? Hey,
the word is timeless, man. Yeah.
But I feel like after quarantine, it's almost like, I just kind of treat dating apps like as if you're meeting someone at a party or like at a club, not club, at like a social
at a Christian
event.
Club, like a yeah. Christian club.
Yeah,
like
at a Christian
Bible reading club, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, from that, like, do you feel the church needs to be better educated in normalizing dating apps for our singles today, you know, so that they don't hide in shame? Or do you feel like that there are enough warning signs or maybe pitfalls of dating apps where the church should be a little bit wary of it as it is now? Or just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on that.
I talked to a number of people for a long time, I think for like the last 2 to 3 years, that have had dating app experience or know of a lot of people that had dating app experience. And I think the theme that I get constantly is, I think I might have said this during staff retreat, but like people are being commoditized. Like we're becoming like a product and we're able to flip through so easily and look at different profiles of people. And you just kind of create this Renaissance man or a Da Vinci woman in your mind of like your ideal person. I don't know. I think it does something to the person, the people that have used it, where, you don't look at people as people anymore, but they are like an item.
So and it's not this extreme, but kind of in a skew of like pornography. Because when you're watching porn, like they're no longer human beings. They're just objects for like your own satisfaction. Not to that extent, but in that kind of manner, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think in like in the most fundamental, like humans becoming things, yes. Yeah, I can't justify that because like, I don't know what that really means, but I think it's funny that has been the constant theme throughout the people that I've talked to. And that made me like a little concerned about like, oh, so what does that even mean? And what does that do like about relationships? I don't know, maybe I'm like really old school and thinking that like I will meet someone because I will meet someone rather than that I have to like go and really search. And I don't know, I think that's a very naive and like old school thought of me, but I'm not sure.
So let me ask you a question. So the dating app in itself is not evil.
No.
Right? It's the way that we as depraved human beings, we utilize it, right? So a question for both David and Jane, like how can the church help disciple and prepare young single Christians to be able to wisely use dating apps for God's glory?
I do know that, kind of like what David was saying, like everyone has their own timing. And I feel like even through dating apps, like it honestly works for some people and doesn't work for others. Like I've heard stories where people meet their significant other, like the first person they match with is their future husband and they end up getting married. And then I hear of other people where they're on it for like a longer period of time. And so I'm personally also confused too. Like how would the church be able to help out? Because I feel like everyone is coming from different angles of dating and feeling lonely and what their intentions are. And even the types of random matchups that they get are so different that I don't know if there's like a one size fits all kind of advice package that you could offer, if that makes sense.
I completely agree. There isn't like here's the A to Z to like how to use a date app that a church can provide. I don't think a church should say don't go on dating apps, because I feel like that's like saying don't go on Facebook in a way, because it's becoming like a norm of like a social media type. But I also don't think a church should be like encouraging people to go on dating apps either. So just by the nature of the two options you have, you already don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to sound very cliche. I think the church should go beyond the dating topic to just really directly point people to filling the void in their hearts through God.
So yeah. It sounds like it's like there's no A to Z guidebook to do this. Like it's a really nuanced area, just like dating is. Like there's no roadmap to perfection in dating apps, which I think people need to know, because I think some people search for that, which leads to a deeper problem. I think the beginning of it is talking about it like this candidly, because you know, I think if Jay and I are honest, there's never been an actual talk about this other than don't do it or just do it. I think there's no nuance to that, right? So given that some time has passed by and I wanted to kind of flip the script a little bit, in no way are me and Jay experts in this field, because we are not at all experienced in this. And in no way are you guys experts in this too. But I guess if you guys had questions, like what are some specific questions you have about dating, about your dating apps, about just life right now in, you know, romantically, that you would want to ask a pastor? And I think Jay and I can try our best not to give a perfect answer, but just our thoughts and candid process of thinking too.
What are some warning signs that Christians can ask themselves that show that they're not ready to date? And do you think there is a black or white area where Christians aren't ready to date?
Yes. I think a lot of times, again, it kind of goes back to the separation of the sacred and the secular. I think there is a culture within, within conservative Christianity where we over spiritualize everything, and we put such a high emphasis on what we label spiritual maturity. So someone who is serving, someone who knows a lot about the Bible, or maybe knows a lot about the lingo that a church uses in terms of like the Christianese and the theological words or phrases, and people automatically assume that he or she is mature. But if you dig a little deeper, sometimes it's so easy to put on a facade and a mask, right? But to kind of seem like you're spiritually mature, even though you are very emotionally immature. So I think if you think about it, people who play church or who play holiness, that holiness card, if you notice that there is a disconnect between the level of holiness or spiritual maturity that they are displaying compared to the emotional maturity, is if there's a big chasm between that, then that's I would personally say is a pretty big warning sign that this person is not ready to date somebody because they themselves don't know, they don't know themselves even a little bit, you know. Or you shouldn't date someone like that because the person that you are seeing and the impression that you're getting is not really them.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything Jay said. If I would add anything else, and this is more it's anecdotal, but I think it's also biblical. If you don't have good, genuine friendships, I don't think you should date. Because I guess to be even more candid, I can usually see the health, and I'm speaking very generally, so I'm not specific, but I can usually see the health of a marriage by the strength of the bond between the groomsman and the groom and the bridesmaid and the bride. I've seen so many weddings where, like, I know the groomsmen were just like a stitched together Frankenstein of like, hey, just please be my groomsman. And the reason why I say that is I think friendships balance out your romantic life in a healthy way. I think David mentioned this too. Like, some of us have this void that we're trying to fill. It's a God-sized hole with romance, and it's not going to work. I think friendship kind of helps in that, because it friendship is a thing that it's not only about you, but it sharpens you. Like friends, I did an episode about this. Friends are the only type of people that will like be honest about all your flaws right in front of your face. Joke about it. Like even for me, like I have a big forehead. I have best friends that text me like every day, but they can do that in honesty and genuineness and sharpen me. If you don't have that, and if your potential, you know, date or whoever you're going for doesn't have that, I think that's a really scary place to be, because there's no safety net for that. I think Proverbs speaks about that too, that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So I think friendships are essential in dating life.
I actually have a comment on that, because I feel like, or I guess my question was more like, for me right now, I'm like single, I'm not in a relationship. And so when I look at my girlfriends who are dating, and I give them advice, I feel like it's hard for them to take it. For me, it's because I can look at their lives objectively. But let's say I get into a relationship.
Oh, I see.
And they give advice to me. I think because I'm in the situation, my emotions are involved, like it's actually hard for me to take that advice, if that makes sense. So like, it's like, yeah, friendship and dating just seems confusing.
It just comes down to humility and teachability. I know it sounds like a kind of a cliche cop out answer, but and also at the same time, I think the way that God teaches us certain lessons and certain things about us is through failure. So by not listening to your friend's advice and willing to go down a road that probably isn't the most healthiest, in the end, what you can learn in hindsight is that, oh, this is something that I definitely need to work on, which you might not have known if you didn't go through that pitfall. Mm-hmm. So I think number one, if you are emotionally and spiritually mature enough to heed, number one, to kind of filter out to see if this advice is true and wise, mm-hmm. if you're at that point where you can actually understand that, then you probably wouldn't be in the situation that the people that your friends are giving you advice about. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your unwillingness to take the advice of people usually means that it's a lesson that God wants to teach you, and it, mm-hmm. and you may have to go through the gauntlet of that lesson to truly mm-hmm. understand it.
If one friend is giving you bad advice, they might be giving you bad advice. If all your friends are giving you bad advice, you're probably in the wrong. That's usually how I put it, bluntly.
Not always, though, because Job's friends, they all agreed with each other.
That's true. My bad.
But generally speaking, generally speaking, I think that is a good rule to live by. Let me ask you guys a question. Because number one, because I don't have much dating experience to begin with. I've only dated my wife. She's my first girlfriend. You know, I went on a lot of secret dates where the girl didn't know it was a date. You know what I mean? it was secret to them. You know? But so as somebody who, number one, did not date while dating apps were existed, if someone like me were to give dating advice to people in your generation, or even people who are living that dating app life now, like how would you take it? Or is there like a more empathetic or more wise way for us who are not dating to approach this subject and this topic?
Well, let me start by saying I think a lot of Christians, or people who grew up in a Christian context that are listening to this, will say, like, they already know what the pastors are going to say. So I think there is not much to be, like, said about any directional guidance. I mean, it's always good to provide it, but a lot of people will say, like, oh, I already know all this. Like, this isn't anything new or groundbreaking. I think where we can be most encouraged or helped as guys, and we're talking to like two married men here, so I guess makes sense. But I think teaching guys to be straightforward when they are interested in another person. I think, I don't know, guys get scared. Like, I'm a victim of that too. And it's just, it's scary. But I think I heard somewhere like, don't be afraid to ask out the most prettiest, like the prettiest girl in the room kind of thing. And I think what it was saying is like, just be straightforward. Just like go out and be bold about it. And if they say no, like that's fine. Like I think from my experience, people that I've asked out and I've got rejected to, like they appreciate it when you're straightforward and when they say they're not interested. At least there's room for like a clear air and like the next time you see them, there isn't anything weird other than the fact that like you got rejected, but that's more of like your pride speaking. So if the church or if like the pastors can just, I don't know how to do it, but like encourage brothers just to be like, hey, like you like the girl? Just say you want coffee or like you want donuts. I don't know, say something. And I think if a lot of Christian men can learn how to be straightforward and be strong in that first step, I think it will be encouraging. Like a good dating behavior in the church.
I also want to take this time to put on my cape and my mask and be the champion for the single men. because in that same context, I think what a lot of single Christian women can be mindful of is that when guys do approach them, that they don't place a stigma on them as the weird, creepy guy that's asking me out. You know what I mean? Because I think in the same way that there is the stigma of Christian men these days being not bold enough and straightforward enough to ask somebody out, I think there is the stigma where Christian women, when somebody does take that bold step, then they can be labeled as the creepy weirdo. I can't believe he came up and asked me out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think... both sides need to work on those aspects, because a lot of times the guys, it's not that they're so afraid, you know, it's like, I don't want to come off as a creep, you know, because there's that heebie-jeebie culture within the Christians, especially the Asian American Christian bubble.
Jane, from your perspective, like, do you agree with that? Like if I don't know if a guy does ask, but like, I always thought if a guy just straightforward says it, it's not creepy. It's more like, oh, I'm just not interested. But if like they never really say anything, but always just kind of like hovers around, like that's creepy.
Yeah.
But am I understanding this incorrectly?
Well, this is just from my perspective, and I know like other girls like to be approached differently. But I feel like, I think if you're straightforward in person, not through DM, I feel like that's respectable. And if they obviously don't give off a creepy vibe, and you somewhat haven't bro-zoned them or friend-zoned them in your minds, and I feel like the girl should be open. Like, I think also that's like advice for like even myself and other women too, just like to not label certain guys and to be more open, but also to know our worth and like not be too open either. If that makes sense. I guess there's a balance
between the two. Totally agree.
Wait, what do you guys think about the current dating culture without our context?
I think especially something like dating is something that's non-biblical, right? Meaning non-biblical, meaning that it's not mentioned in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those aspects of life where we really have to look at principles within Scripture, not so much like direct guidelines. And it's kind of like I'm no dating history expert or anything like that, but just looking through the culture of dating, you know, just even like as early as 100 years ago, there was no such thing as dating. You were just, your parents just chose who you're going to marry, right? It was just like a thing that just happened. And then once dating occurred, I'm sure in the Christian church, dating was seen as something almost taboo, right? Looked down upon, like, well, I can't believe they're just going out and finding their own girlfriend or boyfriends. And now in today's circle, like, you know, I think there's definitely a way that the Christian conservative circle looks at dating apps as like, whoa, I can't believe people are meeting online instead of meeting actually in person, right? So it's always like every culture and every generation has a different hurdle to jump over when it comes to finding a mate or a girlfriend or a spouse or whatever the case is. So In that sense, I'm realizing that dating wisely can never be done by specifically only looking at dating, I think wise dating happens when the Christian is fully developing in their discipleship, and then they see dating as a natural overflow of a section of their life that they need their discipleship to pour over into, you know. And I think if you could find two people like-minded in that type of spiritual maturity and emotional maturity, then, whether it's through an app or whether it's in person, I think it's something that could work.
Totally agree with everything, Jason. And I'll build on that too in a little bit. I think a couple of thoughts that I have is, I think being in Silicon Valley has changed my view of tech. Talking with people working at Facebook, Google, etc., I think outside of the Bay Area in America, there's a general sense that tech is evil. And I understand, you know, Social Dilemma, the documentary, et cetera, that tech is growing at a scary pace. But again, I don't see apps as evil or sinful just by using them. But I do think your tools shape who you are. So if you're always on Instagram, if you're always on Facebook, that shapes you as a person. If you're only on, you know, Coffee Meets Bagel, Hinge, whatever it is, I think what David said becomes true. People become objects. They become profile pictures. They become DMs, you know. So I think rather than thinking, is it good or bad, it's how do you be wise in what you're doing? And I think one thing I hope people do is I think dating apps are helpful. And again, I'm not an expert. I'm just trying to figure it out as I go. But I think I see dating apps more as a entry tool than a actual like tool into dating. I think if that's what you're using to try and find true love, if I'm honest, I think that's a scary place to be. Because if I was so, you know, in all fairness, I was on Hinge with me and David were using Jane's Hinge. I just want to see what it was like, right? And even me rejecting guy after
it's rough,
guy
right, guys? It's guy. Rough.
It's rough.
It's clearinghouse.
Yeah, but another part of me, when I reflected on it, I was like, dude, what was I doing? You know, I was just saying, oh, this person looks weird. Oh, this person likes this. Oh, this person doesn't fit. I was objectifying those people. And I'm thinking, if you do that over and over and over and over again, that impacts you, right? So just be wise about that. And this might be a little controversial, but in the land of dating apps, as a Christian, where is one place you will find people physically in the flesh that are Christian? At the church. And I'm not saying like go guns blazing true north and like start shooting your shots in quarantine.
But Sunday Facebook like, Zoom worship.
Hey, yeah. More of those. Let's go.
Who's David King?
Breakout room sessions.
Yeah. You know, video like, on, please. Video on.
I'm going to be honest with True North. Every True North single person I talk to, it's always, hey, what about people at church? Oh, there's no one. Really? There's no one? And I'm going to push back where, like, I think that's, again, allowing the dating apps to set this standard and bar that's almost impossible to find. Mm. I think the church is a really healthy place to find dating, you know, dating people or boyfriends, girlfriends, because you have accountability. It's not in secret. You know each other. I think anyone can lie on Hinge or even in a first date, but at church, you know the reputation and character. Ask me or Jay. We'll be honest with you if you're a girl or a guy, as honest as we can be, if we know them. So I would say, you know, dating apps are good, but just think outside that, be wise. And the church ain't bad. It's not a bad place to be.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think that's a very, very good point. The very thing that we're looking for in dating apps, we've developed those type of relationships in the church, but for some reason, it's caused them to be in the friend zone. You know what I mean? Like, I think there is a skewed idea of what romance is supposed to look like because of what we've witnessed on TV or movies. But like, it's always like, hey, what about this person? And they'll say, oh, she's awesome. She's a good person.
But
you know, yeah, he's great. He's awesome. But you know, and so like, here's the thing. Like, I think sometimes mature young single Christians, they go into a new church setting and they say, you know what? For the first 6 months, I'm gonna make sure I'm not trying to date anybody here. I just want to like get plugged in and like, you know, just kind of like be mature about it. And then your maturity is actually working against you in dating, you know, because the people that usually hook up within the church is like, they do it because of the novelty of that person. Like, oh, who is this person?
And
it's like,
they hook up
right away. They're new. And then they start dating, you know, the people who remain single at the church are the people who are like, I'm not trying to date anyone right now. I'm just trying to date Jesus. And then they spend like 6 months dating Jesus. And then they're like, well, now everyone's in my friend zone, you know, because
I only have Jesus.
Like, yeah. Cause they're like family to me. But I mean, you kind of have to kind of look beyond that, because romance and intimacy is not just about, I mean, chemistry and kind of like that spark is important, but that's not the thing that lasts the longest.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's the compatibility, it's the character, it's the same drive and passion for the gospel.
I don't want to harp too much on this too, but one last thing I would add about the church piece is breaking up is a reality of dating. Is it in the Bible? No. How is a biblical way to do it? I'm not sure. There's principles. But if you date in the church, one thing I can be sure of is when you do break up, if you break up, there is a safety net for you, which I think sometimes you don't have. I think when you break up, you need dudes or girls in your life to be there. And the church, if that happens, you know what's going on. And even more, I think it's like, again, this might be the pastor side of me, but even seeing, you know, people that break up still being able to have a somewhat, you know, not normal but somewhat relationship is a testament of the gospel that I think is like, man, what's a better witness than that? That like, not that you're best friends, but like maybe this person hurt you, maybe this person hurt you, but that you're still, hey, they're a brother or sister in Christ, and I'm forced to do that because of accountability in the church. I think that's one of the most important things that people don't think about in dating. How do you break up, and what's the biblical way to do that? And I think the church kind of protects you in that too. So
Yeah, whenever I see a breakup in the church and one of them leaves, it's usually an indicator that they're having premarital sex. You know, that's when they're not, usually they're a little bit more cordial and like a little bit more mature about the breakup, especially if they're both really involved in the church, you know. But when two people who are highly involved in the church, they break up and one leaves, it usually has to do with some sort of sexual sin.
Mm. Yep. Thanks, David and Jane. They were our test subjects for this first roundtable. I hope you get the gist of what we're trying to do. We none of us, I think, here really have answers of how to date well in 2020. But I think in those type of situations, in the between of secular and sacred, the best thing to do about it is just candidly talk. And we're hoping to do that. So, Jane, David, thank you. Any last thoughts or closing statements from you guys?
Any dating apps? But my Instagram is
is alive and well.
Yeah. Am I?
If you're into biking, if you want to follow my biking experience, then, here's my Instagram handle.
I just want to say, like, I don't know anything good. So, like, yeah, I hope no one like thinks I know what I'm talking about. It was just like a stream of consciousness that I was just spilling on this talk. So, yeah, take it for what it's worth.
I feel like also there's so many different subsections of dating. Like we could go into like dating non-Christians and just like so many other topics. So if you have questions, you should shoot them to Pastor Eugene and Jay.
Jay, Pastor Jay.
Oh, Pastor Jay.
I'll ghost you.
All right. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you next time.